Talking about our shepherd being with us in the valleys. And we don't really usually like to go in the valleys. We want to be up and have everything going well and perfectly in our lives. But unfortunately, that doesn't usually happen. But I heard a good statement recently that faith grows during storms. And it seems that when we're in the storms, that's when we turn to God. Hopefully, if we're wise, we turn to God during the storms. And then we draw closer to Him. And I know you've all gone through hardships and storms. And the song we're going to sing was written as a poem by a man named Horatio Spafford. And he wrote this after he went through several valleys, the shadow of death. And it's called It Is Well With My Soul. Horatio and his wife lost their firstborn son when he was 4 years old. He died of scarlet fever. A year later, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed many of his properties and his businesses. He was a fairly well-to-do businessman. 2 years later, the family planned to travel by ship to Europe to help out with an evangelistic crusade that was going to happen. Well, something came up with his business, and he couldn't leave on the ship, so he sent his wife and 4 daughters ahead on the ship. Well, the ship was struck by another ship crossing the Atlantic, and it sunk. All 4 daughters perished. The wife was found unconscious, floating on a piece of wreckage. So she was taken to England. He came to join her, and as he traveled across the Atlantic, the captain of his ship stopped and showed him the place where his children had perished and where the ship had gone down. So he prayed, and he went back to his cabin, and he wrote this poem, the lyrics to It Is Well With My Soul. So it has brought me comfort as I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death as well. I forgot I was supposed to pray first, so let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are with us in the joys and in the sorrows, in the hardships, and in the celebrations. Thank you that you are our good shepherd, that you care for us, and that you grow our faith through many different ways. And one of them is when we feel hopeless and we feel like we can't cope. If we turn to you, you are there to comfort, guide, and lead us. Thank you for this study. I pray that you would be with Jessica as she leads us today. Be with us as we watch the video. And Lord, just draw us closer into your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's sing. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. But my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Amen.
Thank you, Valerie. The songs were picked a while ago and random and a little bit shuffled, but wow, what a song to have for this week, for this message. So God knew exactly what he was doing, right? Quick thing, there's a little confusion. We got a little clutter this morning, so we're going to just shift out the clutter. So Connie, spring session will look like normal spring session. And we're going to have second hour classes, and we're going to have a fun 7 different people or 8 different people talk first hour. It's going to be awesome. So after today, when I get done, Connie's going to come up, and she's going to share the amazing second hour classes that are going to be available. And the books are out on the thing out there. Counter. I got some words. It's been a morning. And so you don't want to miss that. So hang around. Whenever I get done, Connie will come up and do that. Now, it's a little out of order than when we usually do it, because next week is Ash Wednesday and we're going to end early. So there's nothing going on except you researching books and thinking about and getting your butt here and learning about what we're doing here. On week 7, February, don't know the date. 25th, thank you. February 25th, registration will start at 8:30. So there's a paper on your table that has the corrected time. We're shuffling, trying to figure out how to make all this work with this crazy new winter session. So thank you for your patience with all of us sheep, because us leaders are more sheep than you have any in mind. So in the lobby out there, they'll have it all set up. You'll start at 8:30. You'll come and get your number, just like we did before, so you don't wait in line. And then when Connie calls your number, you get to come out there. At 9 o'clock, they're going to try a new thing and do the online registration. And I know nothing about that. Connie will talk about that. Okay? All right. So you've got lots of information on your tables. Now, turn it all over and don't pay any attention to it. Because now it's time to do this. So God reminded me, like I said, a lot of clutter. Clutter in my life, clutter here, clutter stuff. It's just the way it works. So he reminded me graciously this morning that this isn't a Martha study. And I'm supposed to stop running around like a chicken with my head cut off. That this is Mary. This is our time. Please join me this morning. Push out the clutter. Let's have that big exhale. And join me as we sit at the feet of Jesus and we learn what he wants us to know. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you this morning. We invite your spirit into each and every one of our souls, our minds, our hearts. Clear us of the clutter. Clear us of everything we brought in. See us, Lord. See each and every one of your sheep. Our hard parts, our good parts, our hurting, and fill us overflowing with your presence so that we might grow closer, know more about you, and be the women you would have us be. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to be on page 20 of your workbook. And I know I don't do that often enough, but Jennifer's video especially has got a lot of extra stuff I put in the workbook because she's covering some good stuff. So page 20. all right, so we are in verse 4. So read it with me. Here we go. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's what we're going to get today. We're going to walk through it, we're going to fight it, and then we're going to be comforted, as only he can do. God gets personal in the valleys. This verse shifts to first person. Our past verses have been he, my, his, they. And now it's you, me, your. Our shepherd gets personal with us when the valleys get dark. Remember, God will never lead you where his presence will not go with you. Ever. He's going to use this time, these valleys, to shift us from knowing about him, knowing about our shepherd, to being in a deep relationship with Jesus. Like someone said, the storms. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to start with our words. You know, me the word nerd. So yea, though I walk. What is walk? What is walking? It means we're not stuck. It means one step at a time at his pace. So we can't run if he's not running. And if he stops, we need to stop. Following our shepherd. Why do we follow him? Because he knows best. We don't. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's coming. He does. He already knows. He already knows the mess we're going to make, the mess we made. Remember the mud? Yeah. So we, yea, though I walk through. We're not standing still. We're not stuck. We're moving. Walking through means we're moving. We're in a valley. We're in a hard place. But we're not standing there. We're not trapped. We're moving. So keep your eyes on Jesus and keep stepping. What are we in? We're in the valley. Valley is temporary. It's not permanent. It's a space between two mountains. It's not our destination. So lift your eyes and see what God is doing in this valley. Because a valley can also be a green belt with a river running through it. In David's time and his region, shepherds really knew about valleys, and they knew how treacherous they were. They were places where predators like wolves and bears and lions and thieves were looking for an easy meal. They also knew that valleys were necessary paths to get us their sheep to the green pastures. So as we're walking through, keep your heart and your mind on where your shepherd is leading you to. Look for what he has for you in the valley. Life happens. Valleys happen. It's how we respond to them that matters. Often a valley season can feel like a time of waiting. We're caught between the middle of what was and can no longer be and what's next. We can't avoid it, we can't hurry it, we can't run faster to get out of it. But we can choose how we view it. We can stay stuck and bitter, focusing on the lack and the loss, or we can surrender and embrace the work that God is doing in the valley. When we're in these hard times, we can really only see what's in front of us, what we just lost behind us. What would it be like if, like God, we could see everything? But what if we were in an airplane looking down at this valley and we could see this rich, nourishing river running through the bottom, feeding crops and cattle and fruit. With Jesus, we can be that fruit. So, we're going to, that slid over. I'm sorry. I'm learning about PowerPoints. It's also in your book, but this week, we're going to do the video earlier. We're going to start the video in just a minute. And Jennifer is going to walk us through three amazing valleys that I never thought of. And I want you to open your Bibles. And let me find it. I have a paper copy because God told me something was going to go wrong today. So here we go. So you're going to mark Psalm 84. If that cute picture of a Bible wasn't in the way, you'd know that. And then you're going to mark, so stick stuff in, or however you want to do this. I'm just giving you a heads up. 1 Samuel 17. Jennifer will say it, but she goes fast. So Psalm 84. 1 Samuel 17 and Joshua 7. All right, isn't she amazing? So we all knew about the valley of the shadow of death, but is anybody else as surprised about the truths in the other valleys that she found? She's just amazing. The truths of the valley of battle and the valley of shame. So no matter our valley, weeping, battle, or shame, it's not ours to fight. I love this slide. So she talked about the valley of shame. I know it's good, right? Dee reminded us in the fall session that sin is real and that we all end up in the mud over and over and over. But the gift of forgiveness Jesus offers changes everything. When we confess, God is faithful to forgive and clean us up again and again and again. Shame is not from God. Don't wear that shirt. That does not come from him. That is Satan trying to convince us that you aren't worthy of the amazing gift that Jesus offers. Don't listen to that snake. God says you are worthy of forgiving, cleaning, healing, restoring, and in Jesus we are made whole. The battle. As women, we are worst at battling and nitpicking at each other, right? Letting the enemy win. Man, he is doing a happy dance when we are fussing with each other, tearing each other down instead of building each other up and equipping. We are sisters in Christ. Act like it. Don't let that snake win. Jesus is pretty clear when he says, love one another. So even in battle, even in battles we don't like, you are to show love, respect, and kindness. Be different. The world says, get a piece of the pie for yourself. It's all about me. Me first. No, I need to be the one doing that. I need to blah, 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 blah. I love this. He says, Satan's strategy is simple. The little tiny words. Make sin look normal and make righteousness look weird. Who wants to be weird? Right? Dare to be weird, ladies. The world needs more weird. As far, yes. Satan's strategy is simple. To make sin look normal and to make righteousness look weird. Do we feel that in the world today? Boy, it would have been in your handbook, but I found it like Monday. So as far as it depends on you, live peacefully with only those you like, only those who look like me, only those who agree with me. Live peacefully with all. I just taught this lesson in chapel this morning with the preschoolers. It's so funny. How to be a friend, and can friends look different, and how are we supposed to treat each other? God has quite the sense of humor. I have the puppets if you want me to do it that way. And gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul. Health to the body. What do your words taste like? Just so healing. Choose. We have enough to battle. We don't need to battle each other. I love this slide. Look at her. Basking in the sunshine, just giving it all up. Trusting she is safe with her shepherd. He's watching so she doesn't have to. Her eyes are closed. My little dog does the same pose. Instead of seeking escape, like Jennifer said, surrender your battles and your valleys to Jesus, our shepherd. Allowing him to transform them into green pastures of healing, rest, restoration, and peace for all of us. That's what's in the valley. So, shadows. A shadow is defined as a dark figure or image cast on the ground by a body of interrupting light, shelter, and protection. We know that a shadow cannot exist unless there is light. So who's the light in the valley with us that's casting the shadow? Jesus. Yeah, our shepherd. God is with us. He is with us. He is with us. When life is loud with pain and sorrow. So this week is a fun one for me. Not. The shadow of losing mom still hovers over me. It's been 8 months. Loss isn't a one and done. It colors all parts of our lives, right? Every chapter of our story. It changes us because the person we lost was a part of us. And even though we know, I know she's with Jesus, it doesn't lessen the loss here for me. So we have to be gentle. We have to be real. Like Jennifer said, you have to feel it to heal it. So let yourself feel it and then keep stepping. Don't get stuck. Don't try to push past it, rush through it. A few months before losing mom, I stumbled across Shiva. It's a Jewish tradition of 7 intentional days of mourning. And I knew, you know, I shared week 1, mom had dementia, and so it was the long goodbye. It was 7 years and the last 2 years and the last 2 months. So I knew what was coming, you know. So I stumbled across it, and I just knew in my heart I was going to do some version of that to allow me space, not to wallow, but permission, unapologetically sit in the loss for a set amount of time. Our Western culture, we've lost stuff, and we just... You know, don't you feel like everybody expects you to get back to work, expects you to be okay, put on that bumper sticker, put on that happy face. You're fine, you're fine. Or love you all, but, you know, when everybody says, oh, she's with Jesus now. Yeah, no, that don't help. That don't help. You know, it does, it does. And there's a beautiful parts of that story I'll share with you someday. Amazing, God was amazing. No doubt where she's at. And she's in my future. Kathy Lilly shared that. That was the best thing someone said during those first few weeks. She's in your future. I loved that. That worked. But 7 days, not rushing, just sitting in it, gave me permission when to start. And I didn't do anything that didn't feel right. I was gentle with myself, and I just sat in it. I can remember a few days in thinking, okay, it's probably time for me to get my act together and get moving, put it together. And I counted, and it was only day six. And I was like, oh, I have another day. It was such a gift. It was such a gift I gave myself. When we are so full of loss, we need some kind of framework because it's so loud. And this was not a rule I had to follow exactly 7 days, or you have to do it. It was just a gift. And it also gave me permission after day 7 to come out and to try to step back into the new normal. It helped me deal. Helped me be real. I slowly began to find my new normal, a new rhythm, and the hard memories slowly shifted to some of the good ones. I was worried they never would. And I'm learning how to better carry it with my shepherd. The Bible is full of promises, but it's not a life is full of sunshine and roses book, is it? These verses this week are in there for a reason. These hard words are in there for a reason. And we need to acknowledge the hard. And it reminds us we don't walk through it alone. And one of the best parts, our shepherd is with us. We walk through it together with our other sheep. And that makes all the difference. God reminds us not to dwell on the past or get stuck, but to press forward to what lies ahead. What's next? What are the next parts of our story that he's still writing? When life is loud with pain and sorrow, and it feels louder than everything else and feels like it's going to swallow us up, we can trust that God is right there in that moment, holding us, even when we can't feel it, knowing we will see the light again. We will see goodness in the land of the living. This verse helped so much. I will be okay because there is still good. There is still good planned for me, and I will get through it. Let that promise of newness and light wash over you. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. It doesn't say forget it and pretend it doesn't happen. But don't get stuck. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Some translations call it a desert. Well, we Arizona girls know firsthand how important water is and streams and the life that they can bring. That's what God is saying. God is saying, let go of what can't be anymore and look to him and see what he is doing. What is he bringing you in this valley, in this wasteland? Because he's there and there are gifts and there are treasures. We will fear no evil. Why do we not fear? We fear not because God has already won. The snake is not going to win. He has conquered all, and he is with us. Evil is morally wrong, bad, wicked, harmful things. We don't need any of that. We got enough of it in this broken world. I love this. Fear focuses on the shadows, and faith focuses on the shepherd. So where are your eyes? Where are you looking? On those hard days, we're down. Put your eyes on Jesus, and all the things will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Always comes back to me. The enemy wants us focused on fear and shadows. But Jesus shifts our focus to light and love and him. I heard this quote in a Christian fiction book I just love. No matter where you are, keep your face to the light and the shadow will fall behind you. Simple, but it works. So shift, turn, and keep that snake behind you. There's light somewhere in every single situation. For you are with me. He's with us in the valley. He's with us in the battle. Because the battle is the Lord's. Recognize the enemy, like Jennifer said. Who are we really fighting against? Don't get stuck. Be still. And become a door. We can build up wall after wall after wall, keeping us in, keeping everything out. Or we can open a door and let the light in. We get to choose. Then I thought, to this I will appeal to the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. Praising and thanking God, even in the smallest light in the darkness, begins to shift our hearts and lightens our steps and stops our downward spiral. We can't change the circumstances, but we can change our attitudes. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Fear not is in Scripture 365 times, but did you know that remember is in Scripture 8,670 times? Do you think God wants to remember? He wants us to remember his promises, remember the times he's provided and protected for us, and remember that our shepherd tells us we are safe. What keeps us safe? His rod and his staff. This was fun finding out more about. So the rod, the little one on the left for you too, yes, is a short little club-like device. And the staff is the longer curved one, like my staff. It's fun that it was really real. Okay. Thinner with a hook at the end. Your rod protects us, the club. And your staff directs and guides. A real shepherd carried two main tools. The rod was a heavy club used for protection for predators, lions and bears and wolves, anything that would threaten his sheep. And he would keep striking until it released the lamb. Being a shepherd's a wimp, right? A lion, a bear, a wolf. That was the other one. The staff with the long curved end was used to guide the sheep, nudge them back on the path when we get off. Do we ever get off? And I didn't know this, or if they fall into a ravine or a crevice, the hook, he would hook the sheep out and pull us out. It's real tools. There's a reason why David chose shepherd. David says, "Your rod and your staff comfort me." He is saying, "I am not afraid in the valley because my shepherd is armed, attentive, and close enough to reach me." I love that. Comfort, compound word. Come means together, and fort means strengthened. So with our shepherd, we are strengthened. We are comforted because no matter what happens or how we feel, we are not alone. Our shepherd is with us. When the valley feels like a valley full of shadows and unknowns, remember, the shepherd doesn't send us through and then wait on the other side. He walks right alongside us with his club, his rod, and his staff every step of the way. That helps, right? So we don't have rods and staffs, but we have some pretty powerful weapons. And this is so real, and I use this so much. And I know, Alpha, this is your go-to, and I love it. And it's in Ephesians 6, 13 to 17, the whole description. Now, I'm a simple gal, and in my brain, I have trouble remembering it all. And so several years ago, going through a hard time, this is what I did. And I apologize if this is not your thing, and that's okay. So when I feel that snake poking at me, and it's often, and it's usually he's been poking for a while, and then I go, "Oh, I forgot to do that this morning." Every morning I do this. I invite God in. I ask him to set the rhythm of my day, the path and the pace, and help me stay on the path. And then I pull out my tools because I don't have a rod and staff, but I have this. And I start from the top of my body to go down because that's how my simple brain can remember it. And I put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness that I learned is a two-piece, covers the front and the back. So I am protected, his righteousness. I put on the belt of truth. Oh, truth, everything has to be measured against that truth. I put my feet into the shoes of the gospel of peace. Help me to be a peacemaker for you today, Lord. I lift high the shield of faith to block the flaming darts and arrows and everything that snake is going to throw at me today. And I wield the sword of the Spirit, his mighty word that cuts through lies, bone and marrow. It is my tool against that enemy. And you can feel it when you do that. It is real and it works. And God just covers you. I feel like I'm just covered in a little shield and ready for whatever is going to come at me today. My little silly thing, but give it a try. So, remember, let's see. We can't change things. We talked about this. And we have to look for God in our valleys, in our sufferings, in our trials. They're not evidence of God's failure to care for us. They are an invitation to deeper faith and a closer relationship with Jesus. There is stuff in the valley for you. Look for him in your valley and you will find him every single day. When we are comforted, we can comfort others. We can be women God uses to strengthen others through walking through their valleys. And that's the best gift ever. So now, think back. Remember week two when we put the whiteboard up here and Cheryl was up writing like crazy? Those words brought such comfort. The Lord is our true sense of comfort. So I brought you a sample, just a sample of our words. The Lord is constant, just, forgiving, loving, faithful, merciful, still, unconditional. Trust, he is our I am. He is trustworthy, steadfast, consoling, gracious, happy, ageless, true. He is the way. The Lord is my Father. Peace, physician, author, friend, shield, song, shade, keeper, potter. He is my quiet, my everything, my savior, my staff, protector, rock, strength, refuge, rescuer, deliverer, healer, redeemer, caregiver. He is my salvation, my comforter, my healer, my laughter, my solace, my refiner, and my mourning. Don't those bring comfort? Let him be your comfort, not chocolate, not TV, not Scape. Those help. Go to him first. And remember, I'm typing them all up, and I'll bring them week eight. We'll have all our words. So, yes, this is a small sample. You guys did good. It's all about perspective. So to us sheep, a valley looks like a very scary place where we do not want to go. Everybody? Yes. No, thank you. But to a shepherd, he knows that guiding his sheep through the valley to the lush green pastures beyond, it's necessary to get us where he wants us to be, where he can provide for us, care for us, nourish us. So trust your shepherd's leading and shift your perspective a little bit. So now it's going to be your turn. I have talked way long enough. So we're going to have table time. So the questions this week, and I know they're not the same as in the workbook because I got really inspired and God whispered new things, so forgive me. Which valley resonates with you? Weeping, battle, or shame, and why? Reflect on a valley you've been through or are currently in. How does knowing your shepherd is with you change your perspective? Or what is one way you find comfort when you are afraid? So take some time, share among your table, and then we'll come around and get a few answers from each table. So be ready for me. All right, ladies, are we ready to share? Has everybody gone around good enough? We got it? All right. Hello. Okay, here we go. All right. Hello. All right, my little sheep. Okay, so Cheryl. Bah! All right, so Cheryl, if you'll start in the back and do this side, and Helen, if you start in the front and do that side. So you don't have to share all the questions, but just, you know, give us some feedback because I need fed today, big time. So, all right. You start them off over there. All right. I want to hear this.
Well, first of all, we...
Stick it right in your face.
We digressed, which you probably are surprised about, but we kind of focused on the loss, like weeping, illness, that type of loss. And then we moved through the joy that knowing that our loved one is in heaven, and as you said, that, you know, they are in our future. But then we digress to God leading us to reach out to others, like just you get that feeling to call somebody or whatever, and a couple of us shared that we had done that. One friend had already passed, and then another one was ill and said, how did you know to call me? And then our dear Becky brought up the wonderful thing about, there's a song called The Power of Your Love by Hillsong, and about, it says specifically, to hold me close and guide me. Well, it talks about surrounding us, but through all of this, just that knowing and the little God winks and things that we have.
Beautiful. And listen when God whispers for you to reach out and help another sheep, because those matter. Those matter. Now, last week we asked if you stand up, if you're comfortable with that, and talk so that we can hear you better, and stick that microphone right up in your face or we can't hear you. Okay? Cheryl, who you got back there?
Our little group here, briefly, which valley resonates most with you? We all were in agreement that we go through all the valleys, particularly as women, sometimes all at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our valleys, as you've said, can become hope for others, as well as bringing us closer to God. Reflect on a valley. How does knowing your shepherd change your perspective? We know that there is life beyond the valley because of our shepherd.
Yes.
And one way we find comfort when we are afraid, my favorite one that was mentioned, was call another sheep.
Exactly. I don't know how people walk through valleys without God, without Christ. I don't know. Okay, who's over here? Delisa, will you stand? Thank you. And eat the mic.
Am I on? Okay, so we again said all three, but a lot of grief at this table and acceptance of our physical limitations. And we said that the grief lasts longer than we thought. Like, you know, 6 months is, it's not going to just disappear. And then we had a visual of just visualizing that when a shepherd has a sheep that won't pay attention, sometimes the shepherd has to break its leg. And then, that's for real. And then the shepherd holds the sheep until the leg heals. And I had a broken leg, and we also had a broken leg here. And I know that through that, just focusing on bonding with our shepherd through our physical ailments. And then we had that being honest. We agreed that it's okay to be mad. Like, we can cry out and tell God how hurt we are, how mad we are, and that we can cry out, but we have to look for others to help us. So thank you.
Oh, definitely. God wants to hear from us. He already knows how we feel. You can tell him all about how you feel about your circumstances. Cheryl, where are we? Oh, Chris?
Well, the valley that we often, well, we most often refer to was the battle, you know, the daily things that come up and how we can deal with that and how we tend to give it to the Lord and then take it back.
Yeah.
And then Diana said that, you know, putting on the armor of God every day and going to battle like that, you're more prepared, you're ready for a battle. And then the big thing is most of our battles are not solved in our time, but in God's time.
True, true. The time is the hardest to deal with, isn't it? Helen. Barb, thank you.
We
right up in your face.
Okay, better? Yes. All right. We had shame and battle and weeping and loss in our group. We didn't go into specifics on the shame because that's a bit too much sharing.
Don't need to know, God knows.
But on the weeping and loss, one of the things that came out is that God's time is not our time, and we just have to hang in there. In one case, it was more than 20 years till there was resolution, but eventually it did come. And as to what kind of valley we've been through, knowing our shepherd is with us, a valley's limited by time and space, and so, you know, eventually you're going to be through it.
Yes.
And also, one person felt it very helpful to keep telling Satan to quit playing tapes in their head as they're walking through the valley. And as to what we find comfort when we're afraid, we're at a table of singers here.
Nice, so nice. Yes, yes. Well, yeah, put on praise music. By all means, that shuts that snake up fast. Good. Back there.
Hi, I'm Daphne. We just kind of were talking about the third one, what is one way you find comfort. And we said we say the 23rd Psalm to bring us comfort, and kind of alternate maybe the Lord's Prayer, 23rd Psalm, just to bring us that comfort.
Nice. There was power in that sword. There was power in the word every time. Yeah, use it.
Okay. The valley that resonates the most with our group were the battles. And we decided that we forget to ask Jesus to fight him with us. So from now on, we're going to ask Jesus. We're going to include him.
But it helps.
The second question, reflect on a valley you've been through. We said that as we get older, we're all old at this table. As we get older, some of us aren't as old as others, Grace. Okay, but it's the connectedness to Jesus. And it's coming to the realization as we get older that the Lord is truly walking with us.
Yeah.
And so many times we have to pretend like we can reach out and put our arm around Jesus or put our arm around his shoulder and feel that connectedness with him.
Yeah.
It makes it more real. But the fact that we are getting older and we're getting toward the end, we're like, okay, we know that he's got this covered for us. Because when you're young, a lot of times you feel like you can do it yourself. And we know that you can't do that.
He's kind. Faith.
Hi. Okay, so we talked about the valleys of sadness and loss, and I think we all have those. And Dee actually said something that I really love, and I don't think I'll ever look at my body the same, is that scars are proof that healing has begun. And I think about that now. I'm thinking of all my scars. I'd like to say I don't have any blemishes, but we all know better. And it is proof. And so we're all healing if we get through something and not rush it, because that is a problem. We do rush in our society. We try to get through things. And also battling. I have lots of battles. We all have battles. And I know that in my battles when I was not a Christian were more difficult, and I pretended they didn't exist. And then later when I became a Christian, I had to deal with things differently. And it's a lot easier when you have Jesus, when you start your day, like how you said, the helmet, everything. If you start like that,
it is easier. Yeah. And nobody is suffering, and you're not. And when you're looking to someone else to come and save you, or why didn't she call me? Why didn't she? She's suffering too. Mm-hmm. So we have to think of both ways. We can help each other.
Good. Be kind with each other. Oh, I like that. Scars are proof healing has begun. See, this is why we do this crazy part, because I always get good stuff from somebody.
This is actually my favorite part of doing this session this way, is getting to know these ladies.
Yes.
I try to bounce around to a different table every week because I think I'm learning so much from everybody here. So I really, really love this the way we're doing. Wow. We just talked about the Becca was the weeping and loss. We had somebody share a very touching story to us, and a very private but very about their time going through that. And mine was basically the, is it Ela or Ella?
She said it both ways.
Okay. So stress of life, I think we all can agree. There's so much stress. We kind of went off on a tangent as well, because I started talking about how there's so much going on in our lives and learning how to say no and all those things. And then we started talking about computers and Facebook and now AI and now... I mean, it went off, but it's so true, because we have so much stress that's dealing with this technology that we're some of us are dealing with. You know, for my job, I have to deal with it. So, and then I wanted to say something. I didn't have an opportunity, but fear is mentioned 365 times, you said?
Over 365 times.
Well, you also told us in the first week that do not be afraid is in there over 365.
A version of do not be afraid, fear not, or fear. Some form of it.
Yep, some form of it. So I thought that was interesting. So every day there's fear, and then how you can strive to just push fear away.
Yeah, nice. Nice, nice. Yeah, the world is loud, and it's getting louder and louder and louder with technology and everything, and we have to learn to be still and quiet to hear the whispers. Linda.
Hi. I talked a little bit about the difficulty of being still and allowing, you know, putting my weapons down and allowing God to fight for me, with me. And I have to kind of, when Althus talked about, you know, as you're getting older, you have a tendency to have Jesus by your side and allow him to take over. Well, I still find myself, you know, pulling it back and taking the weapons and not being still. So that was something that was a little bit talked about. And then we also talked about the grief, and it was more on, rather than loss, it was a betrayal, and having that grief, that loss with that friend deteriorate, and the idea of forgiving that friend, and the idea that forgiveness is more for us than it is the person who has wronged us or harmed us. So, you know, allowing forgiveness is going to heal us. And I love the scar, you know, that your scars are still there in that healing, but you know that it's a process and it's happening.
Well, and like we talked about a couple weeks ago, the kintsugi of our scars, that God is in it. And they're there because it represents he's been in it with you and healing, and he's restoring you, even though.
We pretty much reflected on what everybody has said. We've got weeping battles going on, or in the past, and we've come through it. Jesus brought us through it. The battle can be ongoing with the world the way it is. You know, it's pretty much our theory that Jesus is the only one that can right the ship, and we just have to constantly depend on him and not yell at the TV like my husband and I, you know, do on occasion. And talking about the scars, it a lot reminds me of music that I listen to, because I like to listen to K-Love every day, all day. Scars in Heaven. Mm-hmm. The only scars in heaven are by the ones that are bringing us in. So our scars will be gone.
Nice, nice, nice. Helen.
Okay, so on the first question, which valley resonates most with you? We talked about the battle, and we also talked about weeping. And we talked about faith and how it's really about trusting. Mm-hmm. And that really comes about as a journey, as we're growing in our faith. And that we really need to trust the Lord and put on the spiritual armor of God every single day. The second one, as far as the valley, currently there's three of us at this table are experiencing losses at different times in our life, different stages. And what we have shared here is the fact that we need to lean in and trust Jesus more and more. Mm-hmm. And we had several ways of finding comfort when you're afraid. We go for a walk, we pray, we call someone, mm-hmm. and then again, we put on the armor of God.
Nice, nice, wonderful. Deb.
So we kind of ran the gamut with all three of the valleys, and we're slightly heavier on the weeping, which actually physically happened by myself over here. So we had grief about loss of loved ones, of course, and loss of myself. I'm in the middle of a move, so it was about losing friends and Prescott and everything we love here. So that was kind of a little raw mm-hmm. at the moment, but mm-hmm. it's so healing. Also really enjoyed with that. We had one of our sisters in Christ who shared that she was comforted by, we all thought this whole door of hope was
yes,
just yes. absolutely knocked us to our knees. That, and one of us actually had their very own door of hope when she was grieving one of her darkest times with the loss of her dad. And this lovely gentleman came into her life and just really was there for literally everything. And she married him.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Nice. Yes.
Miss Vaughn. And
nice. Yes.
And as far as what we do, we all are thankful that we do have Jesus with us as our co-pilot, and that he is helping us through all of these valleys, because none of us can imagine, like we've talked about, how anyone gets through any of it without him. It's just on a daily basis, I kind of always resonate yeah. on that as well. We love our Christian music, play it loud. When we're working things through, we would love to even be that door of hope. Like, and we talked about how that's an active thing that we can actually do when things seem kind of too heavy, too challenging for us. Like, we as women, we're always looking for things that we can actually physically do. And so that was something we talked about. What else, ladies? Prayer, of course, and leaning in on our ladies. So
that's good. Sometimes the most powerful thing we can do is help somebody else. Get out of our mud and go help somebody else. I love this sharing. I love it. I see if I turn it on, it might work, huh? Okay, so I know we didn't get all the way around. Sorry. So all of our words for today, that's how many we came up with. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. So battles and valleys will come, and we are powerless to stop them, but we can choose how we walk them. Stuck, bitter, broken, or pause and sit at Jesus' feet. Be still and look for the good. Did I miss a slide? Yes, I missed a slide. Okay. Look for the good, hear his whispers, and turn your heart to gratitude. Thankfulness and gratitude shifts your focus. It's an incredibly powerful tool. Lift your prayers of praise, even in the hard, and let that peace that can only come from that fill you and wash you again, drop by drop. Someday, when we turn the page to our story and we remember this season, this hard season that we've walked through, no matter how it was resolved or when it was resolved or if it still was, we will remember how God walked us through it and used it to grow us and bless us. And we will see the unexpected path that he carved and that you are then walking. So next week, we're going to move from valleys into celebrating and tables. So we're going to give our flower pot ladies a rest, and I invite you to bring your favorite coffee cup or mug. Those are going to be our centerpieces. And if you want to do your work ahead, especially 2 Samuel 9, read that in advance. It will really help. Let me close us in prayer and then stay put, because Connie is going to share about our second hour classes, and you're not going to want to miss it, okay? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are with us in these valleys. We are thankful. We are going to be thankful for our valleys because we know you are doing something good in them. And you are with us and you are walking us through us. We are going to look for you in the hard, in the dark, because you are the light. Fill us so full of you that our light shines through and we can be that door of hope for someone else. In Jesus' name, amen. So on your table, Connie's coming up. You have to grab the mic from one of the ladies. Here's one. Sorry. Okay, here you go. Hush, 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 hush.
Hello there, ladies. Hi.
Everybody sit down. It's only going to take a few minutes, and it's important, please. And Connie's put a lot of work into it, so give us just a few minutes. I got done early. I stopped.
Thank you. Thank you, Jessica. Okay. Okay, ladies, let me apologize for any confusion I may have caused this morning on registration times. We will be registering at 8:30 on week 7, not 12 o'clock. So when you came in this morning, there was a stapled packet in front of you on your table. And the first page had at the top of it registration procedure for spring 2026 classes. And the third bullet down says the registration table will open at 12 p.m. Well, cross that out and write down 8:30 a.m., okay? And then we went around and we put this sheet on your table that said registration schedule for week 7, and this is how we're going to do it. You're going to come in early if you'd like, and you will receive a number, a label with a number on it. And we will call numbers like we've done in the past registrations. And then you can come up to the registration table to register for your class. That is called in-person registration. A half hour later, that will start at 8:30. A half hour later at 9 o'clock, we will then open online registration to you. And since many of you loved doing it when we did it for the winter session, and you raised your hands and said, yes, we really like doing it. So we thought we'd give you the opportunity to do it also. So we will do both ways on week 7. Okay? Any questions? Okay. Yes, you will have the same process that you had a couple of weeks ago, where there will be a QR code that you can scan, and it will bring you right to the registration database. Okay, we'll talk about the payment in a moment. Okay, hold on. Okay. So if you're doing online registration, we will also allow you to get in line while you're doing online registration at 9 o'clock, and then you could come right to the table to pay for your book and pick it up. Okay? We'll work it out for you. We'll try to be as fair as possible and as quick as possible, and hopefully everybody will be happy.
Connie, the ladies want to know if you have to be in here to do the online or if you can do it from home.
You can do it from home, but it won't open until 9 o'clock.
So how will they get the QR code?
Pam, I think, is going to send out a blast email to let everybody know what we're doing, and the QR code will be included in the email. Yes. Cash and check only. Cash and check only, no cards. And make it out your check to
WOW. This is not next week. This is week 7
This is week 7. Week 7. Next week we have to leave early, remember?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah.
Make it out to WOW. Make your check out to WOW.
Also, Connie, there's a change on the brochures. Make sure you're using the handout papers that she's got on the desk.
Yes.
The class at the very bottom has changed.
I was just going to mention that. Yes. The very last class on your brochure, on the original brochure, was Uncluttered. That book is not available right now. It is on back order, and hopefully we can get it and do it again in the next sessions. But so Vicki was able to select another book called Unshakable. So that is, if you see it in your stapled package, I have a copy of the spring session panel. And it has the new class on it. It's the very, very bottom class. It's not in the original brochure. It's in your, there it is, in black and white. Okay, yes. Yes, you will, on registration day, week 7, you will pay and get your book. And ladies, if you haven't already looked, the books are on display on the counter out in the lobby, so you can look at them to help you decide what class you'd like to take. Yes. Yeah, you can get help to register if you can't make it. If you are not computer savvy and you don't feel comfortable doing the online registration, there will be people to help you. Okay? So just know. Sorry, I have this nose that won't quit running. Just know that there will be people to help you if you want to do it online and don't want to stand in line. Yes. If you register online and your class is already full, you will not be able to pick that class. It will tell you that that class has been completed. Then you will have to choose your second choice. Okay? The database is very user-friendly, and it's very It will tell you things that you sometimes don't want to know. But it will tell you when a class is full. Okay? Yes. You will have to then pay on week 8. Okay? If you register online at home and you have not paid, we will still be here registering on week 8 so you can pay and pick up your book then. But you will have to come to the registration table to confirm your class. Okay? We're trying to make this easy. Yes. Yes, you will get a number label to stick on yourself. Okay? Yes.
Thank you for all your work.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, hopefully we clarified the whole process and everybody understands. If not, email me or call me and I will help you out whatever way I can. Okay, now. Don't stay still for a little while longer. I'm just going to talk about the classes for spring, okay? And these are the things that the class leaders want you to know about their class. So the first class is Be Decisive. You can follow on the brochure or the black and white copy of the brochure that was stapled to your packet this morning. And this is by Warren Wiersbe. It's a book on Jeremiah. And the leader is Diane Morris. Diane, are you here? No. Okay. She wants you to know that this book is for the Christian woman who desires to follow, serve, and speak for God more fully in this complicated time. It's a study of the life of Jeremiah and his decisiveness in a time that was probably as complicated and sinful as ours. We will read Warren Wiersbe's